tonight?
What's that?
So who do you got tonight?
Washington Vikings. Oh, it's college yet? I have Oregon in every game. So.
Is Nick starting?
What's that?
Is Nick starting something?
Practice today, yep.
Are you at the point where you're ready to...
Nope.
No.
Mike's still limited?
Yeah, Mike is limited, so, you know. I mean, if it goes the same way, if someone gets hurt on Friday, we got to adjust it. So,
is he? I mean, I think the first time he had the injury, you were able to do a little bit more each day.
He's progressing. He's progressing. It'll see if he can get a little bit more in, but you know, he didn't take any reps yesterday. Earlier, when the hit happened, he got some reps in 7-on-7. Right now, he's just throwing an individual drill. So,
is Matt getting more than?
Matt's getting the 2 reps. Yeah, Nick's getting the 1 reps.
By saying you'd have to adjust it, do you mean you have to put Kenny on the roster? Or?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
I was talking about
still
reps.
Limited, you would have, what would you have to adjust?
If what?
If he were still limited, what would you have to adjust? You said you would have to adjust.
If he can go and he can get reps, then we would have to adjust it. So we'll see how he is when he runs around today. That's what I meant. But he hasn't gotten any reps. Before, when Mike was injured, we got him in 7-on-7 and things like that. But he hasn't taken any reps in 7-on-7 this week.
Is he getting better? Is that hammy getting better?
I think it is. You know, it's one of those things where every day you kind of get an update on kind of where he is. So I know he's working extremely hard at it and doing everything he possibly can. So, but he hasn't taken any reps this week. So
does the nature of the injury make it so you want to be real careful because it is something that he had injured before and hamstrings are tricky like that?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, because he came back before and injured it again. You know, shortly in the first quarter against the Cowboys. So you know, I think we got to make sure. You can't rush him back, and you got to make sure that he's healthy when he goes because it doesn't help anybody if Mike goes out there can only play, you know, a limited amount of snaps because then you're right back where we started. So,
Chip, the issue of hazing has obviously been a relevant topic lately. What's your thoughts on kind of what's acceptable, what's not, and what you expect out of your players when you're the coach?
I think with all our guys, you're all members of the same team, and I think everybody should be treated the same way. You know, I think some of our young offensive linemen make sure that there's water stocked in the offensive line meeting room, but you know, everybody's a professional. Everybody's on the same team. We don't have a rookie show. We don't do those things. I think we're all on the same side. You know, it's us against the other 31 teams in this league. And I think the quicker you can get those guys indoctrinated into that, it's you are a member of the Philadelphia Eagles now, and there's a way we expect everybody to act. So that's kind of how we've always approached it here.
Is that something you addressed with the team in the spring or have had to address recently?
We addressed it when we brought the rookies in here and just told them that, you know, that's – everybody's the same, you know, whether you're a 10-year guy or you're a rookie, that's part of the deal. And part of our job, I think, is to make sure that the young guys get acclimated. And what was it like when you were a rookie? You know, it's hard. Even though they are, you know, professionals, there's still a learning curve. You know, it's just like being a freshman in college again or a freshman in high school again, and they can all go back to think about what it was like when they were younger. So it's a difficult transition for anybody.
Has that philosophy changed over the – I mean, you were a player once, then you're – young coach, assistant coach, have you seen a change in that philosophy?
Yeah, I mean, I think societal views of all that stuff have changed over the years. So,
you once said that, you know, unless you were Stag.
Do you study old things? Because you've asked all those questions a lot. Like, have you go back and look at old transcripts? Or just wondering.
What else is there to
I once said what?
Thank you so much, so I got to use that. You once said that about, you know, unless you were Stag, you're basically barring from everyone else. I'm wondering in terms of your run pass package plays.
They lost me on the floor. If I was Stag,
unless you're Amos Alonzo Stag, you're barring.
Oh. We're going to a Sadie Hawkins dance or something. I had no idea where you were going with that one.
In terms of your run pass option plays, how did you start cobbling them together? You know, and when did you start doing that? And why did you think that it would work at this level?
I think it works at every level. I mean, you're just – all you're doing is you're – again, we're not doing anything new. I mean, everybody else does – you watch the Detroit Lions. If there's an extra guy in the box, then Matt Stafford's going to throw the smoke up to number one. You know, Eli Manning did it to us twice on blitzes. They're trying to run a power play to the right. We were blitzing off the right side. He throws the ball out to the split-end receiver out there, so – again, it's not anything new. I think it's just you're trying to make a bad play not be as bad, you know, and can we get something out of it? You're obviously not going to throw a touchdown or throw a home run, but you're going to put yourself in an advantageous situation where you can gain some positive yards. So it's something that's gone on. It's gone on in this league for a long time. So it's not, you know, us having quick throws out of things we're doing isn't a new concept.
What about the inclusion of the run, though?
That's what I'm talking about. You know, there's a lot of teams in the NFL, if they have a run-up, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is as good as it is. You know, Brett Favre used to do it all the time. There's a run-up and everybody's running here and he throws the ball to the receiver over there. It looks like there's only two guys on the same page, the quarterback and the receiver, but it's usually built into the call, so it's been going on for a long time.
If you look at Seth Thornton, is he a guy you knew about before you got here, and at what point did you realize he'd be a contributing player on this defense?
No, I didn't know about many guys on this roster before I got here. So, I mean, I didn't follow anybody in the NFL. So, you know, I mean, I knew who LeSean was and Mike and Nick because some of the guys in our league. But, you know, I think when you finally start to turn on the tape, we felt as a staff when you turned the tape on that this guy could be a pretty good football player just because of, you know, his effort, his ability to run and make contact with the ball. You know, and then when you get a chance to start working with him, you thought that, hey, this guy's – could be a pretty good player here. So when we started studying film, you know, Seth started to jump out at us in terms of his effort, you know, and that's the one thing on tape that really, if you ask me what was my first comment watching the defensive tape, and specifically Seth, was how hard he played last year. So, you know, that was obviously something you got excited about when you get a chance to start working with him. So
how's physically Chip set out the list?
He's good. He should go today full. So, you know, we'll see if he gets all the way through, but I anticipate him going through all the practice today.
Hello, Brett.
He's the same thing. He was limited yesterday. We'll just see if that gets ramped up this week. Yeah, I mean, today.
So. You don't know for sure about him yet.
No. I don't know for sure about anybody. I said Seth will be the same thing. We'll monitor him today as he goes. But I know he's going to go. He's not out. So.
You touched on this Tuesday. There was always a knock on Nick that he couldn't throw the deep ball. Always last year as a young quarterback. What have you seen from him? Obviously, he had a bunch of them the other night. What have you seen from him as far as his timing, his arm strength, and all those things?
That's what I've seen since I got here. You know, the first day he started throwing balls for us. So, I mean, I've that's never been a concern of mine. So I don't know where that came from or why that came. So, I mean, I think he's got great touch, great accuracy. He's a big guy. He's got a big arm. I think we've always believed he could make those throws, and I've seen him make them in practice all the time since we got here on day one. So it's not like all of a sudden he just started throwing the ball deep, and you're like, wow, look what Nick can do. It's, I mean, we've seen that as a coaching staff. I mean, he can rip it. You know, he's a big, strong dude and can let the ball sail for a pretty good distance. So,
Chip, given that the Packers play so much nickel, are you surprised they're so good against the run?
Now, again, I think it's a matchup thing, Paul, because who are they playing against? You know what I mean? But when they got into some fist fight games and they got into base defense, you know, they got some pretty good-sized guys. You know, obviously, Clay's been out a little bit and Perry's been out, but when you bring in Mike Neal, who's a 290-pound outside linebacker, and put him next to Raji, next to Pickett, next to Jolly, you know, with A.J. Hawk in the middle and Jones. You know, they got a pretty formidable group. It's almost like people are trying to just figure out what to do to not. But I think it starts with that defensive line, because even if they're in nickel, you know, there's a lot of times they got Pickett and Raji in there, and they can eat up a lot of blockers. You know, they're really skilled. They use their hands extremely well, and they protect their linebackers and let their linebackers kind of run side to side, because usually Raji and Pickett are, and if Jolly's in there, they're tying up more than one blocker. So,
do they change things up much schematically if Clay is playing or not?
I don't think they've changed. You know, I think you obviously have to know where Clay is just because of how dynamic he is. But I don't think the scheme changes. You know, they've rolled a few guys through there just because they've had some injuries. Malumba got hurt. You know, they've had a couple different outside linebackers in there. But I don't think, you know, actually Perry's numbers jumped a little bit when I think Clay was out. So. You know, they both those guys may be back. We don't really know, but their scheme doesn't change dramatically with him in there. But you obviously got to know when he's in there where he is at all times. So,
how much is the finger issue for Jason Peters affecting him in run blocking?
I don't. Until you just mentioned it, I don't. I mean, I don't see that from him in terms of punching or things like that. I don't think that's an issue. You could ask him.
How would you evaluate the job he has done as a run blocker this year?
I think Jason's done a really good job. You know, I think he's probably been our best, to be honest with you, you know, and I think we need to be more consistent across the board at every position up front, but I think he would be our best so far.
Two more guys. About the 12 personnel, what's the balance between doing it based on matchup and just finding more ways to get Ertz on the field?
It's all based on matchup, so it's not based on trying to get one guy in. You know, we're not calling plays saying, hey, let's get the ball to here. I think you got to have weapons at every position. I think in this league, people are good enough to take one guy away. So you got to make sure. I think that what we've always tried to do is make sure that you have to cover everybody. So It's all about right now, it's all about matchups. There's no one right now that we're trying to say, hey, we need to get the ball to that guy, because I think we got playmakers at different positions. You know, if you're going to lean toward D-Jack a little bit, then you're going to leave Riley alone. Riley's proven that he can hurt you. If you're not going to, you're going to try to stay really with the wide receivers, then I think our tight ends can hurt you, and that's what we're really striving for, is balance. But we're not trying to individually force the ball to one guy. I think we got enough weapons at all the different spots, whether it's running back, wide receiver, or tight end, to take care of that stuff. So,
Chip, how much does your assistant's background with Seneca help, especially because, you know, there's limited tape on him out there right now recently?
I answered it yesterday. I don't think there's much. You know, I mean, they can tell you what his skill set is and all that, but it's not, you know, it's not that offense. It's usually, I think, if a guy came from, hey, I coached there last year and this is what Mike likes to call in these situations, I think that helps. But it's no different than if, you know, a lot of guys have been on different teams and different leagues, and, you know, they can tell you what he can, you know, how he likes to deliver the ball and some of those things, but you don't know what positions they're putting him in as a coaching staff. So,